Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Recovery Podcast with your host and resident wet brains, Cam and Hen, two dudes navigating the waves of wellness. Thanks for being here. This week, the boys are back, baby. We do a full-on Greek wedding trip recap. Hen explains why he's pro-elopement. We touch on how we're apparently middle-aged men. Cameron celebrates his 7th sober 4th of July with his wife, Bob. And we touch on what it means to be a good teammate. Please enjoy episode 67 of the Rude Dude Pod. Proud of, man, if I see you look my way, I'm ringing down, down, down. And if I were you, where are you? I'd lay low. Podcast. We are your hosts and favorite resident alcoholics. The show that puts some pep in your step, makes you sad when we're gone, and takes some weight off your plate and reminds you that haters are gonna hate, but you are loved. I am your host, Henny Lokes the Lobster, aka Nikolos. With my partner Cameron, the Cree Davis. We're so back, baby. Cameron, how are you, pal?
Well, dude.
You didn't know I was going to give Bruce Buffer a run for his money, did you?
Dude, I was sitting there, dude, like, literally, like, damn, dude, those biceps are fucking huge, bro. Because for our audio listeners, he did a full-on, like, sit back and flex action and was, like, little vibrating arms. He was flexing so hard. That was hilarious, dude. I'm currently reporting live from the surface of the sun. It is fantastic. We are having the time of our fucking lives out here in the Sacramento Valley, dude. So it is great. We got a nice, delicious 114 degree day today.
Shut up.
Which is ultra elite. We're about 17 degrees over the normal average out here. It is actually, I'm in the Devil Gipper den, dude. It's fucking atrocious. But aside from that, dude, I am so juiced to be back. It's so good to see your face. I know our listeners were super worried and like, hey, what the fuck happened? We didn't put out an episode last week. But you know what? We took a little summer vacation and now we're back better than ever. How are you doing today, hype man?
I'm great, man. Yeah, I was thinking about it. You know, we're sorry that we missed a couple, but we had a special life event, obviously. And also, you know, we put out like 63 episodes in a row every single week for, you know, over a year. So I decided to grant us a little grace, and I hope the listeners will too.
Yeah, dude. And if you're really that upset, I mean, dude, you see podcasters all the time that fucking take a week off and shit. We have lives. I mean, quit being selfish and complaining and shit. Like, Sketch Hat coming in trying to make us fucking feel bad. Like, dude, like, come on, man. Henry's in Greece fucking, you know, sucking on octopus, and I was over here fighting for my fucking life. Like, dude, come on. All right? It's all right, dude.
Also, okay. Well, actually, if you're super upset, then we love and appreciate you, because that means Rude Dude is the favorite part of your week. If you're super upset, just go fuck yourself, dude.
Dude, you just like, suck a dick, dude. Keep listening.
If you're our most dedicated fan, then fuck you. No, we love and appreciate you guys. We did get a few messages from a few different people. What's going on, man? Where's the show? So that means a lot to us. It warms our heart. We are sorry for the delay, but we are so back, baby.
Oh, we're back, dude. We're back. I wonder if people had like conspiracy theories, be like, oh, the podcast is over. They had a fight, dude. It's done. Do you think they did that? I bet you Sketch Hat was probably like, oh my God, dude. You know, like he was like climbing a redwood, dude, just sweating balls, just fucking just in distress, dude.
Crying under his little shield.
Goes home, just screams at his kids and shit.
Honey, why are you so angry? I haven't had a Rude Dude in 2 weeks. I'm pretty sure they were not confused or having conspiracy theories, being as for the month leading up to my trip, we told them what was going on. So
I figured they were like, yeah, Henry's just in Greece doing his thug thizzle and Cameron's just trying to stay alive in Abu Dhabi. Honestly, I'm still riding the high from that intro. I didn't know I had that in me. That was pretty good, I gotta say.
Dude, it was actually the most fitting fucking return ever, dude. It really set the stage. And I'll tell you what, dude, since we were still talking about the little 1 week break we had off, because I put out a Cameron exclusive episode. It was just only on Apple. I'm fired up. That reinvigorated me for the remainder of this season of Rude Dude. Dude, that set the stage for the remainder of the year. That was fucking awesome.
I know. Now I feel like I'm going to have to bring it every time.
Dude, you have to now, dude. You set the standard. So talk to me, well, brother.
Well, I'm getting back to real life. It's hard to adjust. I just worked out for the first time in probably like 3 weeks, the first time since I've been back. So yeah, it's been close to 3 weeks, and I am extremely happy to report that all my strength is not gone. That's always the worry. You miss a week or two and you're like, I have no more muscles. I can't lift anything. But 135 was easy. We still hit 225 on the bench. So that's always a good sign. But it felt really good mentally. I don't know. You know, it's like the normalcy in the routine. You know, you get out of it, obviously, being on vacation for 10 days. And it feels good just to, even when I started working again, I was like, ugh. At first I was like, this sucks. Like, I want to go back to the beach. I hate this. And then as I got through it a little bit, I was like, you know, it's nice to be like doing something productive and like earning money, making a difference in the world, beautifying structures and whatnot. So I was like, yeah, this is all right. I'm glad to be a productive member of society again.
Yeah, dude. And that wasn't just like a normal vacation, right? Like, I assume like it took a couple of days to come back. Like, I imagine jet lag was quite atrocious, and you know, but
I actually got like altitude sickness when I got back. I had like vertigo going on.
Oh yeah. You mentioned something about that.
Yeah, I was like Googling it, and obviously, and it said it can happen from sea travel or air, obviously, because there's a problem with, you know, the cabin's pressurizing. If you can't clear your air, clear your ears. And we, on the last day, we went from Santorini back to the mainland of Greece, which was a 6-hour ferry ride. Well, that was the day before. 6-hour ferry ride, high speed ferry. But that night when we were like eating dinner, it's like, you know, when you get the waves, like you feel like you've been in the ocean all day. We had that. And then we got up the next morning and flew, you know, 12 hours. So yeah, dude, the day after we got back, I had to like lay down all day because I was like dizzy and off balance. And then it gradually started getting better. But yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, dude, that sounds absolutely terrible, to be honest with you. I think what you're highlighting, bro, is actually really important too. It does kind of feel good to get back into that mundane routine, right? Like even just like, you know, this extended weekend, like I had like, you know, the 4th off and Friday, and you know, I have 4 days off. Like even just getting back into like the regular ass routine is just so clutch for people like us, right? Like you think that you want like a perpetual vacation, but then all of a sudden you're kind of like, hey, can I like do something? Like, you know what I mean? Like, can I like be a part of the world? Can I go back to normal real quick? And I may be off base with that, but I mean, that kind of sounds like what you're saying. Like, it kind of feels good to be back home now. Like, it's finally set back in.
No, by like the 8th or 9th day, we were like, do you want to do stuff? We could just chill on the balcony here and like, because I was telling somebody else at home, we're homebodies. Like, we stay at the house. We like to, you know, snuggle and watch movies and shit at night. And we don't like run around doing a lot of activities outside the house. So on vacation, we were doing that every day. And for people like us who are, you know, kind of
introverted
homebodies, introverts. Yeah. Like, after a while, we were like, God, I don't really want to like do stuff anymore. And, luckily, we were, you know, 1,000 feet up on a cliff on the side of the Mediterranean Sea. So just sitting on our balcony was actually a fucking sick ass activity. Dude. And so the last couple of days we kind of did a lot of that and just took it easy. And we're like, all right, I'm ready to go home. This is a lot.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about it, man. I mean, the pictures looked fantastic. It looked like you guys were really getting after it aside from that last day, which I can promise you old crew in here would have been having a couple of those days where I would have just been sitting on the balcony, not doing shit. Cause I'm the same way, bro. I'd be like, dude, can we just relax for 5 fucking seconds? But how was it, man? How was Greece? It looked beautiful. I mean, it looked like there wasn't a cloud in the sky ever. Just nothing but blue skies and just tits weather, just nonstop.
They actually, what was interesting, what was striking at first is they are like, as you pointed out, like California, like they have drought issues because it does not rain there for long, long periods of time. And what was kind of striking at first is, for me anyway, when I think of beach, ocean, island, I think tropical. So I think rainforest, wet, green, but it's almost kind of like, I don't want to say a desert island, but it is like it's not green. It's not a lot of plants and like jungle looking environment. It's more like desert oasis looking in the scenery. So that was kind of like striking at first. But I have to say we used a travel agent, which my first time ever doing that. And she hooked it up. So the first place we went was Crete, which is the biggest island of Greece. There are tons of islands below Greece in the Mediterranean, and I'd never even heard of it. I probably wouldn't have chose it because I had no idea about it. But when we got there, and as we left there, and when we were in Santorini, and when we were in Athens, like, everybody who we told we went to Crete, locals, like Greek people, were like, oh, Crete is the best island. Crete is number one. It's so beautiful. And it was just like to know that the actual Greek people are like, oh, that's the best island. It was cool that she put us there because we wouldn't have chosen it on our own. But it was like less touristy. I mean, we were in a sick ass resort, so obviously everyone there was tourists, but there was a town like 10 minutes that way and a town 10 minutes the other way. And they were just small little Greek towns that weren't like overloaded with tons of tourists and shit. And you know, you go out there and eat and shop, and there was an island there. I'm blanking on it. It'll come to me. Spinalonga. And actually, people said it differently. Some people said Spirolonga and some people said Spinalonga. And I think the Greek alphabet is different than the English one. And so I think there's like errors in translation because they don't even have the same letters as us. But anyway, it used to be a leprosy island. So before they had a cure for leprosy, they sent all of the people with leprosy to that island to live there, and they had their like own little colony there as recently as 1947.
Dude, the island of the lepers. Yeah. Dude, that's crazy.
So one day we took a ferry over there, checked it out. It was like gorgeous, and it had all these views. It was in the mouth of the bay of that we were staying in, so when you like hiked up to the top, you'd see all the way out the ocean and 360 panoramic views of everything. I don't know. It was awesome. But what I'll say about, so we did that, and it was not like what you see on social media. It was not the white buildings on the side of the ocean. It was different. It was, but it was really cool. Like it, and nice. And the freaking resort we stayed at, dude. Oh my God. It was like a lot of it. It felt like the movies, you know, in like the movies where you like you're at this incredible resort. Everybody's so nice. You like meet friends and you see each other the next day and you're like, hey, how's it going? Like, dude, we met this woman. Oh, my God. I'm blanking right now. We met this woman. Dude, her name is Dude. And Oh, I feel like I'm like nervous. We haven't done this in so long.
You're
it's
good,
different.
Bro.
But she came to our wedding. She, you know, had our wedding dinner afterwards with us. She was awesome, dude. And we hung out with her a bunch. It was like the movies. And what I wanted to say is like Greek people are a very proud people. And the whole nation is conspiring for you to have the best time. So everyone that you meet, did you like it? Was it good? Is it, it's nice, right? And they like genuinely want you to enjoy it and have the best time. One day we went to this black sand beach. We ate on the beach, and we ordered like too many appetizers and we were kind of full by the time, cause bro, tzatziki and pita. Oh my God. I don't know how they make their tzatziki. It's so fucking good. So we like ordered that every single time, but we ordered too much. When our entrees came, we were kind of full. Kristen got, my brain's not going to work again, so I'm not even going to try. This like eggplant lasagna shit, moussaka. And she didn't eat very much of it because she was like full. And the bus boy grabbed me. He's like, was it okay? And she's like, yeah, it was fine. And he like, our waiter came by and he was like, everything was okay? She's like, yeah, it was fine. The bus boy came back. Did you like it? Was it okay? And she's like, yeah, everything's cool. She went up to go pay the bill. And the guy was like, did you not like the moussaka? Would you like me to take it off the bill? And she's like, no, I was just full. Dude was trying to take it off because she didn't eat that much and thought she didn't like it. She's like, no, it was great. I was just full. No, please don't take it off. But that's like how they are. Like they just want you to have the best time and enjoy everything.
Yeah, dude, that was going to be my next question, man. It was going to be like how the people were. It sounds like they're just like, you know, full of pride. And I think that's super sick. And it's just like this, this welcoming vibe from what I'm getting. I mean, shit, dude, when's the last time you're going to get somebody around here saying, hey, did you, if you took one nibble of something, like you're still paying that bill. No one gets a flying fuck about that out here. Or do they really care about
exactly
you having a good time?
They're like, this is fucking Chili's, bro. I don't care if you're from Greece. Pay your fucking bill and get out of here.
Eat your triple
dip. Give me a good tip, too.
Yeah, dude. And it better be fucking 36% with this inflation, all right, pal? And I'm watching you tip. but it sounds dope, dude. It really does. And it makes sense that it's kind of like that arid kind of environment, bro. Just kind of like where it's located. Because it's so close, like, to, like, the Middle East and like that upper part of Africa. So it's kind of like that. It's not there, but it is. So that makes a lot of sense that it's kind of like that. A lot of history there, dude. I do have one question. How was Athens? Did you see any like cool historical shit?
Well, the thing about Athens, so I told you, I think when we were offline, so we went to Crete first. So we flew Pittsburgh to New York to Athens, straight from Athens to Crete, we flew.
Okay.
Which, by the way, we landed at 8 a.m. in Athens, and we had a flight at 10 a.m., and we had to go through customs and get our bags and recheck them. And Kristen was like, as soon as we landed, she was like, we're not going to make it. I'm tripping out. We're not going to make it. And I was like, I was trying to be positive. Like, we will or we won't. It'll be okay. You know, dude, we were sitting at our gate by 9:10. We went through customs. We rechecked our bags. We went through security again. Oh, yeah. It was incredible. But when we went from Crete to Santorini, which is another island to island, we took a ferry, which that was rough as fuck. We took a windy ass cab ride and then a ferry straight into another windy ass cab ride. And that was a rough time. But I forget the purpose of this. Oh, yeah. Well, so Santorini is what you see on social media.
Yeah,
it's the white buildings on the cliffside overlooking the ocean, which I also didn't realize like how high. We stayed in Imerovigli, and it was probably like we were like 800 to 1,000 feet on like the side of a cliff above the ocean. So like you walk out our front door, you saw it. You walk out the front door of the hotel room, and you're just like in the sky over the ocean. It was fucking, it looked fake. Like a lot of the time my brain was like, if the Matrix was a thing, like they're doing their thing right now. Like they're showing you this fake backdrop that looks incredible.
It almost didn't look real, bro. I'm sorry, I got to interject. It almost didn't look real, bro, because you were, it looked like you were fucking up there too, bro. Like, I mean, like you were like looking down and like cruise ships looked like little fucking skiffs.
Exactly. That was the thing. Those cruise ships, which they park there every day and they look small. But the point I was getting to was that Crete, she gave us what we didn't know we wanted, which was like a more laid back, less touristy, cool island. And then Santorini, she gave us like the experience of what you see on social media, the white buildings, the blue top churches, all that being on the cliff. So it was kind of cool. We got like the best of both worlds with that. Nice. But Athens, so we took a ferry, a 6-hour ferry, which I wish we would have just flown. Actually, I don't know if you can fly into Santorini. Anyway, it's a very small island, but we took a 6-hour ferry back to Athens. We got to the hotel, checked in. By that time, I think it was like 4 p.m. and we flew the next morning at 8. So we were like cast and
Athens. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But we were like, we're here one time. We may or may not ever come back. We have to go to dinner. And so we walked through. Athens is interesting. It's like, it's kind of like New York. It's kind of like grimy. It's like New York, but then there's ancient history there. So we walk like 10 minutes and you're like in a city, and then you start to get up the hill and you're like in cobblestones and like old ass architecture. See, and then we went and ate at a restaurant on the top of a building that was right below the Pantheon.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, bro. Like, that's
it
so
was
cool.
Sick. Like, it looked, and they light it up at night so you can see it. So we're like on top of this building at the bottom of the hill, and up above us was these like ancient fucking ruins and shit. It was pretty awesome.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Well, I'm glad that she kind of like split that up for you. I would prefer the least or the less touristy place, but I like that you did, like you said, you got best of both worlds, right? Like you got to go see like real Greece in air quotes here, you know what I mean? Like in a smaller area. And then you got to go see the snazzy showpiece, which would be, you know, Santorini, and you got to go enjoy that. So I think
when we first checked into our resort in Crete, I think we were both a little bit like quote unquote disappointed, because we were expecting the white cave on the hillside with the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we got used to it. Once we realized, we were like, oh, like mother knows what's best for us. This is incredible. You know,
mother.
And then we went to Santorini and we got, you know, what we were expecting. And so, yeah, it was perfect, dude.
Nice, dude. Well, hey, I got another question for you over here, dude. So this was, or actually you put it in the notes, but I'm going to ask it. So we went the unconventional route. We eloped. From what I can see here, it says pro elopement. So from what I'm guessing, you do not regret the decision at all. You think it looked like it was tits and probably fucking awesome, dude, to be honest with you.
Not one bit. I mean, the only tiny hesitation that I have is that my family and friends couldn't celebrate with us.
Yeah.
But other than that, dude, it was incredible. Someone commented on one of our pictures. It's actually our good friend Cindy, who's been a longtime supporter and listener of the show. Cindy. She was like, look at you guys. Everybody a couple days before their wedding is normally so stressed out and losing their minds. And look at you guys just chilling out, Max, and relaxing. And that was it, dude. Like the day before our wedding, all our like resort friends and like the staff there was like, you guys are getting married tomorrow. And we're like, oh yeah, we're getting married tomorrow. Cause we were just fucking chilling. And obviously I've never had a wedding before. Kristen has. She has the experience of that, and she said obviously it was way better. But I know, like I've seen it, I've seen other people, seen it in the movies, like there's always, oh, the fucking cake's not going to be here on time. Oh, the flowers are wrong. Oh, the guy with the table said he's going to be an hour late. You know what I mean? There's all
Jimmy's,
that bullshit.
Jimmy's too drunk trying to fucking, he's getting too handsy with the fucking little girls or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, there's always something going on.
Drake is hollering at little girls and we just paid him to perform.
Someone send him back to the six now, dude. Get him out of here.
Six. But yeah, there was, I mean, it was zero stress, dude. I wasn't stressed until the morning of, but not because I had to do anything, just because I had to get married. But it was so chill. And like I said, you know, it was just like me and Kristen having a blast, enjoying each other. It was about us. We didn't have to worry about anyone else or their feelings or like, you know, Brandon being mad because I made you my fucking my best man, or you know, like whatever.
I'm glad that we set that fucking right on the record there, Brandon. Even though he doesn't listen, here we'll make sure to send him this episode so he can hear that.
He doesn't listen. If he did, I would have said it the other way around. Maybe.
No, that's no, true. There we go. I don't blame you, dude. I don't blame you.
But you know, all that like petty shit and dealing with everybody. We had one woman there who was like in charge of it. And that's the other funny thing about Greece too. They're kind of like island time, which is like super laid back, a little behind schedule, not a big rush. And like, we met the woman who was in charge of our little wedding, which it wasn't much, but the first day, and she was like, hey, so let's talk about, we needed to get together and talk about the wedding and just iron a few things out. And we were like, cool, can we do it tomorrow? Because we just flew for 45 hours. And she's like, of course, of course. So the next day we like called the front desk and we were like, hey, we're supposed to talk to somebody. And she wanted to like check in. And the person at the front desk was like, what is it? What? Oh, yeah, no. She said she doesn't need to talk to you. You're good. And we're like, wait, what? No, she clearly did, which, by the way, when we told her, Stella, she was mortified. She was like, what? I didn't say, of course I need to talk to you, you know? But there was a few things like that where they're just like, nah, it's chill. And we're like, no, like, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Dude, everybody, all the Greek people over there just puffing Greek lettuce, dude, on that island, just fucking chilling out, dude. A little hash. That's fucking awesome.
But it was super simple, super laid back. It was all about us. We had an awesome time. Of course, our buddy Leandre met us there with his wife.
Yes.
Which was super sick. So for those who don't know, our friend Leandre, we met in eighth grade and he lives in Germany. So I was like, you know, just to have somebody there that I knew and then somebody to perform the ceremony that we knew, I asked Leandre Charel to do it. And of course he said yes. And he was honored. And then, so we had like 2 or 3 days to ourselves and then they showed up like the day before the wedding. So we had a day and, or a couple days and 2 nights with them. And it was super cool. And then Kristen had his wife to like help her button up her dress and hang out with her while she got ready. I went to Dre's room and got ready over there. It was awesome, man. And we were like an hour late because of the photographers and stuff and the people, like the staff was like, oh, a Greek wedding is always late. It's good luck. No problem. And I was like, I just want to make sure Kristen's all right because she freaks out. She likes being on time. And so I was having like Dre text and his wife and she was like, she's fine. She's okay. So everything was fine. But it was really cool to have somebody there that I knew to share it with. It's also interesting because Dre and I were talking about it. I don't think I've seen him for, I don't even know, 15, 20 years.
20 years, yeah, something like that. I was just about to say, what was it like seeing him? Look at Dre, dude. Shout out Dre. What, living in Germany? What is, you got a British wife? Did I hear her?
She is German.
German.
She's
okay.
German. They met in San Francisco and then they moved back home and they actually live about 15 minutes from where my sister used to live when she was an au pair out there.
Okay.
Heidelberg, which is my sister said one of her favorite places, and I've actually been there when I visited my sister.
Nice.
But yeah, it was really cool to have, you know, somebody that I knew there to celebrate with and hang out with, and yeah, man, it was awesome.
Well, that's good, dude. And I bet you guys had like a deeper sense of like the ceremony. And what I mean by that is like, you know, it probably felt more real because it was more intimate. You know what I mean? like it was just you guys. There wasn't this big fucking gawking crowd and you know what I mean? Yeah. Like and all this shit, all this show and pizzazz that is just unnecessary. You know, I bet you it actually, you know, probably was 100% better. You know, and that's not me talking shit on my wedding or anything like that, but I think it was beautiful, right? Like, and you were 100% right about that too, dude. There's always something going on. You're just running around like your head's fucking chopped off for a regular wedding. Got to be here, got to go there, got to do this, got to do that, this, that, and third. And then dude, by the end of the day, dude, I don't even remember anything from my wedding, dude. And I was dead sober. Like, I remember dancing with you, my wife, and then getting back to my hotel room and fucking falling asleep. I didn't even bang that night, dude. I was so fucking tired. like, you know what I mean? Like, dude, so I'm glad that you guys had that laid back, wonderful experience. The scenery was tits. You got to see Dre, which is cool. I'm glad he's doing well. You know, hats off and chin chin, and now you got a ring on your hand. Let's see that thing. You got it on right now. There yes, he is, sir. Official.
Of course, I got it on. The fuck. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, it's super sick. We ordered it off Etsy. It's like a kind of a gunmetal gray, but it's got like a rose gold lining. The inside is like rose gold, so you just see a little peak on the edges. I originally thought I wanted black, but I've tried some on and it's like too intense. I am not a jewelry man. So it was a little weird for me. And the black was like too much. So we found this on Etsy. She ordered it and I actually really like it. I like the thickness and everything.
Looks
came
good,
out
dude.
Fucking sweet. So
dude, I was the same way. I literally, you couldn't get me to wear a ring. Like, I, for some reason, I was like nervous about that. I just never wore rings. You know, I always have my gold chain, right? I've always had that. I've always worn it. Like, I got it at my confirmation. I never take it off. But the ring was weird, dude. Like, I was like, oh, this is going to bug me, right? This is going to feel weird. Like, I don't wear rings. And now, dude,
did
it's
you
just
play
like,
with it a lot for your
I
first?
Did, I did for sure, dude. I still do. Dude, I'll like,
this
I'll
is
like
the number one fidget spinner of all time. I
do it all
like,
the time.
When I'm just sitting around watching TV or doing anything, I'm taking it off, putting it on other fingers, flipping it around.
Yep. Dude, yeah. I'll do this where I'll connect it like this and I'll like push it onto the other ring hand. And I'm sitting there watching TV like a fucking loon, dude.
Or you like try to get it off with only the same.
Oh, yeah. Like the thumb, dude. I'm creating all kinds of fun games, dude. Yeah, we are the same person, bro. But
all right, cool.
It's a cool ring, dude. Yeah, I'm a gold purist. I don't know. Maybe that's the Italian in me or something. I don't know. I'm
not a gold person. I don't like gold.
Nah,
I like white gold or rose gold, but I don't really like gold. But yeah,
I like yellow gold, man. Yellow gold. Another thing,
everybody's
dude,
got their own thing.
That we do need to talk about that I think is very, very, very important. And I'm just going to hit all your topics, bro. Off the phone and available, I have noticed that you've been slower to respond to my text messages. You made a statement coming back. Greece has made you a changed man. We are no longer staring at our phone and the screen time is down big. Please enlighten me on this because I need some motivation.
So I was thinking about it and I think part of it was that for one, we were 7 hours ahead of the East Coast and 10 hours ahead of the West Coast. So just by that nature, we're awake a lot when you're not and vice versa.
Yeah.
And so it was like, people don't expect me to respond because A, it's a completely different ass time. And B, obviously I'm on my honeymoon, but it reminded me of like a thing that I tell my dad, and this is why I put the available thing in there, where I'm like, you don't always have to be available to people. You don't always have to respond immediately. Just because we all have cell phones doesn't mean that you have to be available 24/7 to everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think that was kind of like what set me, because I am my father's son, and it's like, oh, I got to get back to this person. And with like 95% of the communication I do, we don't need to be constantly available and respond immediately. And, you know, like, it, and that, there was just like this freedom in knowing like, oh, well, they know I'm on vacation. And also I was trying to be present with my wife, you know, I was trying to be present with the scenery, present with where I was, present with my wife. And it was just like, let me just like keep my phone away and just like enjoy where I'm at. Life, it hasn't like made the social media thing go away. And I feel like I've almost been heavy on that since I got back. And it's this weird, like, I think like comfort thing. Cause I'm in this weird zone of like getting back and figuring everything out and stressing about everything that I have to do, where I like, you know, I like to like zone out on that. But I do think it made a change in like texting constantly with people all day long and like being available 24/7. And I just don't feel the need to as much. And I'd like to stick with that. Screen time was definitely down the whole time. And it was nice, dude. It was really nice.
Well, dude, I think you highlighted a really cool point in there, dude. Like, you know, the whole, hey, I need to get back to you at this exact instant is a brand new phenomenon for humanity, right? Like, yeah. Like that's a new thing. So everybody has a smartphone. Everybody has a phone now, right? Right. So somehow we all as a collectively as a society have, I guess, decided without telling each other that we decided that since you have that phone in your pocket always, you have to respond right away, right? Mm-hmm. Like I feel that pull. Right. Like when I see a text, Ash gets on my ass about that all the time. She's like, it can wait, Cameron. And I'm like, can it? You know what I mean? Like, and I don't want to be that person, but like it can, you know, like I'll be at dinner and I have to take off my Apple Watch because I'll get an alert, or like if it's a text and I'm like,
and
I'm
that's trying. The problem. Like that it's designed that way. It's like, ooh, since their phone's in their pocket, we can put it on their fucking wrist. So they always look at it. You know, it's like, look at it now.
Yeah, dude. And so I take it off at dinner now, dude. Like, it's just like, you know, I find it really interesting, and I think it's super healthy too. And I bet you felt a lot better, right? Like when I have those small little phone detox moments and I do what you just did, like a day where, hey, I maybe looked at the phone like two or three times, bro, my brain just feels better. Like I just feel more present. And I'm so glad that you had that like revelation over there, dude, because dude, you were over there living it, you know, living life. And I'm just, here's another thing I'm going to hammer home. I'm so grateful to be a fucking millennial, bro. I'm so glad that we got to grow up as kids without fucking cell phones and all this fucking technology. Yeah. I know this is kind of off the cuff, but like we were the last ones, dude. We were the last ones. We were the last ones, man. And like, I just think it's, I'm so grateful for that. I just had to like really hammer that home because like I had a great childhood that wasn't, you know, predicated on me staring at a fucking screen.
Well, and you know, being judged by social media and me judging myself because of things I see on social media. I just saw this reel the other day reminding me, which I've heard it before, but like Steve Jobs wouldn't let his kids have phones or iPads. Yeah, he's like, I don't want my kids playing. Yeah, because it's crack. It's digitized crack for people. Like, and the other thing I wanted to mention that's like on this same thing about like always being available. I see these things that are also good reminders, like little memes or tweets or whatever, where it's like, just because like, if I have a Saturday where I plan to relax and do nothing, that doesn't mean I have free time and I'm available. Like, mm-hmm. If I've chosen to do nothing, that's what I've allotted that time. Just because I say I'm busy doesn't mean I'm performing activities or chores or cleaning or yard work. Like maybe I've set aside time to relax and that means I'm not available. So just because I'm not doing anything doesn't mean that I'm available. It means I can choose to set aside time that I said I'm not going to do anything. And that means I can't help you with whatever that day, because like And I think I always had a hard time with that of being like, oh no, I'm busy. But if I'm not actually busy, like, oh, I guess I'm not busy. I guess I could help you. But it's like, no, I'm allowed to set aside time. Even like the gym. I had that realization a few years back with the gym where I was like, well, I can't say I'm busy because I have to go to the gym because that's not really like a scheduled event. And I could do that some other time. Blah, blah. No. Like if I say I'm going to the gym, if the gym is part of my routine, that's an appointment that I have made with myself that I'm choosing not to interrupt for whatever bullshit you want me to do. And I'm allowed to say that that is my priority. That is my appointment. I'm sorry, I can't. Not and it's no one's going to be upset with me. No one's going to miss out. No one's going to know but me. But I'm allowed to say I chose to set aside this time for the gym, meaning I can't do whatever it is you want me to do because I scheduled this with myself.
Yeah, dude. I actually think that's a really fucking important fucking thing to bring up, dude. The scheduled nothing, right? Like, mm-hmm. hey, I have allocated a part of this day or whatever the hell it is to do nothing. So actually, ready? I am busy. I'm busy doing nothing. So yeah, and you may not like that answer, but that's what it is. You know what I mean? Like that's what it is. And you don't have to answer to anybody as to why you're doing nothing, right? Yes. Like well, hey,
furthermore, I don't owe you an explanation on what I'm doing.
So hey, if you're doing nothing, you can totally come and help me or come to this thing. Well, no, because today is my nothing day. And so therefore I'm going to do that. I think that's really important, dude. And it comes back to what we preach on here a lot, man. It's that self-care, right? Like, hey, yep. Just because the gym is seen as an extracurricular activity, there's a lot more underneath the scenes that the gym does for you, right? Like that's more of an important part than me, you know, doing some scheduled event or some fucking random task that I don't want to do. You know, sometimes I feel like we can be kind of like, hey, fuck everybody. But I mean, dude, like it's not really it's really kind of common sense, dude. You got to take care of yourself. You need those nothing days. You need those self-care things like the gym or the yoga or the hot fucking or making rosaries or whatever it may be, man. And I think that's awesome, dude. And I'm really proud of you for stepping away from the phone, man. I really think that's huge. It's something I got to work on, too, man. I mean, it is. It's just like crack rocks.
Yeah. And I think the point is, whatever you've scheduled for yourself, be that the gym, be that doing nothing, be that making rosaries, you're allowed. You're allowed to do that, and you're allowed, and you don't have to explain it to anyone.
No.
Hey, can you? No, I can't. I'm busy. Sorry. I'll get you next time. I'll let you know when I have some time. But you don't have to change plans that you've made with yourself for other people. That's, you know, and we're talking about people pleasing, because I was bad at that. Like, I would... Oh, well, I guess I don't have to go to the gym. Oh, well, I guess I don't have to relax, even though I had a really long, hard week. No, you do. You decided you were doing that. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to make that decision. You don't have to fucking explain it to anybody.
No, dude. And then it's something that I've brought up and you brought up too, dude. The ramifications of that are actually really bad, because when we keep running ourselves ragged doing this fucking dog and pony show, then dude, the cup fills over. And all of a sudden you're fucking angry and you're pissed off and you're irritated, and that's not a good place for any of us to be. So now I'm going to bring up something that I just wanted to bring up. I'm not trying to stroke myself, but dude, I'm super proud of myself, dude. Yes, 4th of July, dude, that was my 7th consecutive sober 4th of July. And you know, when I sit back and I reflect, you know, that's seven years that I have sat at a 4th of July and I haven't been blacked out drunk. I think it's something to celebrate, and I'm just very proud of myself. Because dude, I used to love that holiday. Back in the day, dude, fireworks, drinking and getting fucking hammered. And you know, to wake up the next day, any of those drinking holidays, like I used to love St. Patrick's Day. I'd really love that one. Cinco de Mayo, 4th of July.
I mean, we drink every day in the morning, yeah, no matter what. But yeah, when it's acceptable, everyone else is all right with it. Yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's dude. Like you mean I don't have that internal guilt? Everybody else is drinking at 7 in the morning? Fantastic.
I went camping one time and this dude like cracked a beer at 7 a.m. I was like, ooh, I like camping. Okay.
My God. These are my people. Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. So I just wanted to bring that up. And anybody else, any of our listeners, if you guys celebrated a sober fourth, congratulations to you guys as well. Yeah. Whether it be one, your first one, your second one, third, fourth, 500th, it doesn't matter. You know, if you were staying the path, you know, sometimes those holidays can be a little tricky. Because you know, people you're around drinking, you know, I was around people drinking, and you know, the more and more I'm around people drinking, the more fucking it motivates me to stay sober even longer. I can't have it anymore, dude. It drives me fucking nuts. Drives me nuts, dude. I can't stand drunk people anymore, bro. And that's not me trying to sound like some pompous fucking asshole. Like, enjoy your life, do you? Like, same thing like with the schedule nothing and things like that. But bro, like, I don't know, man. Like, the times have changed for me. Old cam cakes here can't take. Once people start having one too many fucking little swizzlers, bro, I'm over it.
Being sober around drunk people is just not fun.
It's not elite at all, dude. It's just, it's the repeating. It's the touching and the grabbing. It's the, are you having a good time? Are you worried? Are you, or the, hey, are you okay? Well, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just sitting here. What do you mean? Am I fucking okay? Like I'm sitting here. It's 110 outside. I mean, I'm not really okay, but I mean, here we are. Can we light a fucking sparkler so I can
just
go home?
Just as okay as the last fucking 16 times you asked me. Thank you.
Straight up, I'll get in the goddamn pool. Let's eat a hot dog so I can get out of here, dude. But yeah,
I was with Kristen's friends and there was a lot of drinking, but her and I were talking about it. Her friends don't really get like sloppy. Like, they don't get in a rush. They don't take a bunch of shots. They just all like drink their beers or their Trulies or whatever they drink and just kind of stay at a decent pace. I think obviously some of them were drunk, but it wasn't, no one was like obnoxious. So that was nice.
Well, that's nice.
And we had this absurd fireworks show. You saw that.
Shoot.
her friend got a couple dollars. So it was like pretty outrageous.
Yeah, dude, that looked like a fucking goddamn San Francisco Giants fucking fireworks night, dude. Like what was going on, dude? I mean, it was like you were in like a big ass field and just boxes and mortars everywhere. It was insane.
Yeah,
bro.
There's an empty field attached, or like there's an empty lot next to their house. So set it all up there. And it was weird too, because it's like sitting 100 feet away from where the mortars are actually being lit off. So you don't normally see them like shooting out from the ground and shit. But yeah, it was pretty wild, but it was a good time.
Well, I'm glad you guys had a good time, dude. I'm sure it was better than what we had going on out here, dude. It was hot as fucking hell, bro. Hot as hell. Hot as hell.
We got some cloud covered because it sprinkled a little, so it was nice.
You know what, dude? Michael out there in North Carolina says he doesn't like the East Coast weather. He said he would prefer the 110. He says he doesn't like it. He says the humidity is ass.
I think he'll get used to it. I think you get used to it, but it is, I'm sure it's very humid there as well. I've been through North Carolina or whatever, and it's very green, just like here, because it rains all the fucking time.
That's what he's saying. He's not a big fan of the summer rain action that you guys have out there in the East Coast.
It's weird. It's very, as a Sacramento boy, I tell the people this all the time. I'm like, in Sacramento, it stops raining and it doesn't rain for 6 months.
Straight up.
At least. So, this, like, I've never been about to go to the lake in Sacramento and then had to change my plans because it rained. Like,
yeah, because a tropical storm is just randomly coming through. Like, yeah, that doesn't exist out here. So, yeah, dude, I think that's
you do get used to it. It's interesting. It's also sometimes I think I'd like play this trick in my mind where the only other places I've been where it rains and it's warm is like the Bahamas or tropical islands, Hawaii. So I play this trick in my mind. I'm like, dude, I live in a fucking tropical island. Like, this is kind of dope, dude. You know?
Dude, the tropical Appalachians, bro. Gotta go find your fucking Jamaican weed man, bro. Oh fuck, dude. Oh man. So dude, as you know, I've been viciously addicted to buying like old coins, right? And so I just wanted to say, you know, everybody's kind of having a hard time with inflation, right? And I like history. This is kind of off the cuff, but I like history. I really do. It entices me. So the other day I bought this super crazy like German 1923 inflation note. And if anybody doesn't know about a quick little history thing, after World War One, they lost and Germany got sent into hyperinflation. Okay. Hyperinflation. 1923. This actually gave spawn to Hitler. It kind of like, you know, that he was able to talk about how Germany was all this stuff. So here's this. I'm going to put it up on the screen. You see this? That says
okay.
20 million marks. So for context on how bad this actually was, you know, because I was sitting here, I was like, dude, can these prices of everything just fucking come down? Like, for Christ's sake, like, can the Fed get something going on here? Here you go, dude. Fun fact of the day from the Kriegerin. By March 1923, the U.S. dollar was worth 20,000 marks. By August, it cost more than a million marks. At the height of Germany's hyperinflation, the U.S. dollar was worth $4,210,500,000,000 marks. So if you were living in Germany in 1923, dude, hats off to you, dude. That is absolutely atrocious, dude. And if for context of what it is today, I think the German mark is 58 cents to the dollar. So 4 trillion marks to one U.S. dollar in 1923.
That is absurd.
So I thought that was hella cool to have, dude. Here's a 20 that million mark.
Cool.
That could buy you nothing back in 1923.
Yeah, it's like a penny.
It's a worthless piece of paper, dude. But I thought it was fucking crazy, dude. I have like three other ones, but I'm not going to waste everybody else's time.
I thought you were going to go a different direction, which is what pisses me off is inflation is bad, but it's not as bad as they'll have you believe, because
it's
corporations are actually making record profits.
Exactly.
So what they're doing is they're raising prices under a veil of inflation, but it's
exactly.
not, because they're still paying CEOs exactly. $200 million a fucking year.
Dude, don't get me started on this shit, dude. Yeah, dude, we're not going to get too into it, but I will say
like
this.
McDonald's has raised their prices like 100%.
Yeah, dude, we're just raising prices, like you said, to raise prices. We're not. It's because of inflation.
Under a veil of inflation.
Inflation is staying because you guys are still paying it, and now, it's just going to stay. It's not going anywhere. Yeah, dude, that's a conversation for another time. You got record earnings, bro. Stock market's at all-time high. Stock market's at all-time highs. These big corporations are crushing. I mean, absolutely crushing earnings, bro.
Like,
so that we're not going down that road.
Excuse me.
Holy smokes. But that was just something I wanted to bring up, because I thought it was just super cool. And now I have a useless 1923 German note. What do you want to get into now?
Well, you and I were talking the other day, and at risk of sounding like old Republicans, which we are not, this situation with the WNBA, we got to talk about it because, it's what everyone's talking about. It's all over my feeds, Facebook and Instagram, which it literally never has been before because I don't follow the WNBA, but which is great. Like, I'm happy for them. I'm happy that they're getting publicity. I'm happy that they're filling seats. I'm happy that they're finally making money. That's dope. But what you and I were talking about is, you know, what's crazy about it is that, for one, in years past, everyone was upset that no one was watching the WNBA.
Correct.
Well, now everyone's watching the WNBA, and they're upset about why, or they're arguing about why. And it's like, well, it's not because of Caitlin Clark, it's because of me, or it's what. But it's like, who cares why it is? And why are we hating on, if it is because of Caitlin Clark, which everyone hates, it's all because of Caitlin Clark. No, it's not. Who cares? People are watching. Like, you got what you asked for, and we're still complaining about it and finding a way to make it negative. And then the other part is that we were talking about is how Caitlin Clark is being assaulted constantly, which, like I said, fine. She's the rook. She's, you know, a big name. People want to test her. That's normal. They do that in men's sports too. They're going to come after you. If you think you're hot shit, they're going to fucking humble you. That's natural. But what I don't like is that I've never seen in all the clips they show, because they show a million, I don't see her teammates running to have her back, to get in someone's face, to help her up, and to be like, what the fuck are you doing? Because that is what you do in a team sport.
Dude,
I told you, like, I was a power forward. I was a center in high school. I was a bigger guy. Like, you fuck with my point guard, you're gonna hear from me. Like, I'm gonna be in your face. Yeah. We're gonna, yeah, like, yeah, you know what, yeah, I mean? And that's what your job, like, to show your teammates that you have their back, because this is your team. You support each other, you lift each other up, you pick each other off the ground, and when someone fucking assaults your teammate, you get in their fucking face and let them know that it's not cool to do. And the fact that they don't do that infuriates me.
Yeah, dude. And there's a lot there. I think the WNBA is going to actually, like, squander this, like I said to you earlier, because, you know, all this drama of, oh, hey, we're not watching, it's because Caitlin Clark, and you can say that there's racial undertones there, and everybody, it's something nobody wants to talk about.
They are trying to make it racial to hype it up even more.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. This is a white person versus colored people, and that's not what it is. It's pure jealousy, based off of skill. So they can't handle the fact that a rookie who is not the greatest thing since sliced bread, but has brought the attention that you all wanted. I do think it's absolutely insane that you get what you want, but then somehow we're going to complain about it. like I've been praying for this, but now I'm going to complain about it. This is because it's not the way I wanted it in my mind. And dude, that's going to turn people off quicker than fucking you could even fucking imagine, dude. You're going to go right back to fucking zero ratings here if they keep that up, because I don't want to watch that shit. I don't want to see that. You know what I mean? Like, just a bunch of people fucking bitching, regardless of them being female. And then another thing, like you just said, yeah, she's over here getting her fucking ass beat, and her whole team, literally, I'm going to just regurgitate what you said. They don't do anything. They don't do anything. It's absolutely absurd, bro. And like, I as a sports player as well, I can't understand that. I can't understand that. Like, first off, like, even in real life, like, could you imagine, for context here, if you were out walking the streets with, say, like, five of your boys, and some dude just comes up and cold clocks one of your guys, you're just going to sit there and be like, oh, word.
Stand there, walk away, watch, yeah, just, do nothing.
Just stand there, do nothing, yeah, because that's what they're doing. And no, when you put it in that context, no, of course you're not. You're going to turn around and be like, what the fuck? Like, no. And so, dude, yeah, Caitlin Clark's getting dogged out, dude. The Indiana Fever, dude. All those chicks need to fucking really, like, step up, dude, because it's pathetic. And if I was the coach, I'd be like, dude, does anybody have a spine on this fucking team? I mean, dear Lord.
Yeah, that is your teammate. Bottom line, right or wrong, you like her or not, it's us against them. That's how sports are. It's us against them. We have each other's backs. We are a team. We are a unit. We support each other. And if someone fucks with your beehive, you fucking sting them. That's what happens. Like,
the bees. You like that? Yeah, dude. And that's what it is. So I hope that something changes. I mean, hopefully maybe the sophomore year will lay off for her. But yeah, the fact that she's constantly just getting her ass kicked and nobody's doing anything is absolutely pathetic, dude. It's pathetic.
Did you also see the thing where that veteran who's really good, I don't know who it was,
I don't was know like, any other names.
Oh, she's about to learn today. Well, Caitlin Clark almost put a triple double on her. She was like one away from a triple double, and they won.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, man, like, it's just pure jealousy, man. And it's a bunch of people sitting there looking for social media stuff. Like, what was the one chick who, what was she, played for like the Sky? She was on like three separate teams. She was like, she like ran into Caitlin Clark super hard. It was one of like the first like assaults of the 27 that have happened. And like, this is a nobody, right? She's a nobody in the league, but dude, she got a whole bunch of clout for doing it. So, and I think that's what's really happening here is somebody's going to mention Caitlin Clark's name, and then they go and they try to talk shit, and then that gets them in the spotlight because they haven't had the spotlight, so they're just craving it. So if I talk about Caitlin Clark, or if I punch her in the tits, dude, then therefore I'm going to be on ESPN.
Well, the other one that was gross is the girl who keeps getting all the double doubles, which is good for her, Angel Reese. She's like the most outspoken, like, it's not because of her, it's because of me, which just makes you seem desperate and gross. That's She's pathetic. A great player. Give her her flowers, whatever. But somebody fouled Caitlin Clark real hard, and she was on the bench, and she started cheering. She was like, yeah, like her friend just did like a 360 windmill dunk. Like, why are we celebrating a flagrant foul? Like, what? Like, I get, you know what I mean? Like, you're celebrating like she just made the ultimate highlight of all time, and all she did was like foul someone. We don't like cheer for fouls. That's weird.
Yeah, dude, I didn't see that, but I'm glad I didn't, dude. That's awesome. Oh, word. It's a flagrant.
She was jumping up and down like she just fucking hit a through the legs dunk. And it was like, why are we cheering for this?
Yeah, dude.
You don't under any circumstances cheer for a foul. Like, that's weird.
No, dude. And that's the issue, bro. That's the issue. That stuff keeps continuing, bro. America's going to tune out real quick because nobody wants to see that shit. No one wants to see it.
Yeah. No. Dude, what's a bob blast, bro?
Oh, dude, I was gonna push it. I was gonna push it, but I guess I'll keep it going. So Ash is in absolute shambles because Graham does not call her mom. He calls her Baba, and so now me being the dickhead that I am, dude, it's so funny. So now my wife, we were at dinner. We were sitting at the dinner table the other day, and usually it's just Baba, right? Instead of Mama, it's Baba. And we're sitting at dinner and he tries to get her attention and he literally just looks at her and he goes, Bob. And so, dude, I have literally been walking around the house like calling her Bob, Bobarino, Bobby. I told her to come lay it on me last night, Bobbo. Like, dude.
As we should. So, I'm just laughing because I know for a fact I would literally do the exact same thing.
Dude, she is disheveled.
What's good, Bob?
Hey, that thing's looking good there, Bobby. Come on over here, dude. Like, and I think it's funny, right?
Clap
it's hilarious.
Them cheeks on me, Bobarina.
Hey, you got those fucking yoga shorts on there, Bobby. Come on over there, Bob. And dude, so today I vowed to not call her Bob, but here I am doing it on the pod. So she wants to be called mom. But Graham is not having it, dude. And I wish you could have saw his face, dude, because he literally just looked at her and said, Bob. And I was like, dude, you're Bob.
That's
dude.
Great. But let me reframe this for Ashley, if I might. Okay.
All right, Ash, listen.
These are the things that we cherish. And one day you'll look back and be like, remember when Graham used to call me Bob? That was so cute.
Yeah,
because seriously, because Lyndon has all these little, she does this stuff all the time. Like, she has this weird thing where she puts re in front of stuff where it has no business being. Like, instead of banana bread, she says re-banna bread. And nice. We don't correct her because it's so cute and she'll figure it out one day. But the other thing she said the other day, she was like, yeah, because I was telling him, you were my Nick dad. And we're like, do you mean like stepdad? And she's like, Nick dad. And we're like, fine. I'm Nick dad. Love
Nick
it.
Dad. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and now she calls me Big Mac daddy or like, I don't know. It's all these like funny, because you're big, strong Mac daddy, Big Mac daddy, because you're big and Mac and daddy. And
dude,
it's just
you are,
all these little like,
you are a Big Mac
these
daddy,
little
baby.
Cute things, man, that you cherish. So, and I think it was my cousin who we were talking to about it. Her daughters had some little like isms and like speech impediments. One day they're going to speak properly. And one day they're going to be like, I hate you, mom. I hate you, dad. So just enjoy while they say the silly things while they say them, because one day they'll talk perfectly fine and probably be rude to you and it won't be a good time. So just enjoy the little isms, you know?
Yeah, dude, I stand with you on that 110%. Like Addison still calls TV TB. It's a TB. And I hope it never changes. Right. I hope it never, I mean, I obviously don't want my child to grow up and think that TV is called TB, but it's so fucking cute. Right. And the fact that Graham literally is calling her Bob, I think it's the cutest thing in the world, dude. Like, you know, like that was the thing I told her. I was like, do you think he's gonna grow up and call you Bob forever? Like, no, he's not gonna call you Bob. Yeah. Like, can you just cherish it for how cute it is that this
Lyndon, Lyndon says remember. Remember? And then my niece calls a remote, or she used to, fremote. Can you pass the fremote?
Yeah,
and
dude.
You just gotta cherish that little stuff.
Yeah, abatado.
I like how this turned into like dogging out Ashley.
Yeah,
just
listen
fucking
here.
Enjoy it, Ashley.
You're like Bob, because it's not going away. I'm reinvigorated. I'm calling her Bob the moment she walks in the fucking door today, dude.
So anyway, I was talking to Henry on the podcast, Bob.
It is funny though when you're trying to get laid and you call her Bob. She don't like it too much.
No. Dude, I know that you've been eyeballing this middle-aged man.
I actually have, dude. I actually have.
So I wrote a comment on like this on something on Instagram on this rap site, and it's catching some steam. You know, it's got like 200 likes, and it's also, as anything on the internet that gets semi-popular, got some hate. And there are all these comments. There's like three or four, and it's so fucking funny where it's like, bro, you's a middle-aged man with kids, go play golf or something, dog. And like,
oh,
and there's like
God.
There's like several, you a old ass man with a family and a little kid, go play with it. Or like, and I'm just like, I think it's so funny because one, I think this is most people, but I don't see myself, I guess, as I am, because like, I guess I am a middle-aged man with a family, but I don't see my, like, and I'm like, what do, like, I'm not allowed to comment about rap, which I love and have been a fan of since I was fucking like 9 years old. So I've been listening to rap for almost 30 years now. Like, but I don't know. It's just so, it's so funny. And like, I've been having a good time responding to everybody and talking shit, but it's just so funny because I don't see myself as a middle-aged man, but I'm like, are you clicking on my picture and like going through my fucking profile and checking me out to this extent? Like,
guaranteed, bro. I got into one where because I think I told you, yeah, that's awesome. You know, when like, is that supposed to hurt my feelings? That's supposed to hurt your feelings? like be like, thanks, dude, you'll be there soon enough there, Hoss, if you don't catch a fucking, you know, have one bad night or something like that. But I think what was it, somebody must have scoured my shit, and I don't know how they scoured my shit because all my shit's private. But I roasted some guy because he brought up some like Trump shit on something, and I was like, dude, this guy didn't mention anything about politics. Long story short, I was like, he didn't mention anything about politics. Like, get a different fucking personality. This guy's just talking about how California sucks. Like he didn't say anything about Newsom, nothing. You just talk about anything. I think I told you this. The guy ended up messaging me and said, hey, I hope you, because I forget the fuck I said, but he said something like, hey, good luck staying sober, pal. And I was like, how the fuck do you know that I'm sober? You know what I mean? Like, how did you find me? Who are you? Like,
that's,
I was like,
creepy,
yeah,
dude.
And I was like, well, I wish you the best of luck, dude. Like, good luck with you and your fucking life, political man. So, yeah, it was kind of weird. I don't know. Maybe he found the pod somehow or some shit. But the internet, man, maybe he lives in my fucking attic or something. I don't know, dude.
It's just so weird because if you make a comment and nobody likes it, then nobody responds and nobody says anything, blah, blah, blah. But people see that, like, a lot of people have been liking it, so people have to insert their fucking opinion and like try to degrade you because you just like commented on something on the internet. Like, it's
always
so weird.
The ones with the more comments, right? I mean, with the more likes, right? When you, the more likes it has, people do feel compelled to come in and like down talk your comment that got all the glory. Like, somehow I got to come in here and shit talk on,
like,
on your glorious comment. Yeah, dude, it's exactly what it is. It's
so weird. And dude, which also, I've become a huge proponent of reading comments because people are fucking hilarious. So if you see like a goofy, crazy, whatever video, just open the comments and give yourself a little treat, dude. It's so fucking funny. But also, people are terrible. It's also terrible, but it's also really funny.
Yeah, that's one of the joys of the internet, is getting into the comment section of a cringy video or something like that. I do enjoy that too. But yeah, it really shows the degradation of society, because there's some cold motherfuckers out there, bro. Some cold ones. And it's funny, dude. And before we end this off, you know, I still think it's super funny how people have this sense of entitlement that they can say this shit because they're over a keyboard or behind a phone, right? we had like some like we had some like little work drama the other day, right? Because people aren't you know, performing at their peak. And the manager literally just kind of put it in the chat like, hey, this team needs to step up a little bit. And like two of these people, dude, just started like clapping back hella defensively to the manager, right? And I'm sitting here like this, and like my boss like hits me up and is like, dude, this is fucking wild. She's like, can you imagine that they are like talking back to me right now because they're sucking ass at doing their job. I'm like, dude, this is insane. She's like, this has to be keyboard warrior shit. She's like, they would never say this to me in person. I was like, you bet your sweet ass they wouldn't. I've heard these people say two words when I'm in the office with them. They're not fucking saying shit to you, but they're sitting at home in their robe and they feel compelled to sit here and talk shit. It's wild, bro. It's wild.
Yeah. What is this notification one? Did you put that? Did I put that?
I didn't put that. That's you. I'm going to delete it out of mine because it serves no purpose.
I legitimately don't remember that. Well, the other thing I real quick are I'm going to toss this around. Number one fan, Sketchair, who was very, very disappointed to not have episodes. Here's your episode, brother. And we're going to give you a special shout out, not only for caring enough about us and being super hyper depressed that we didn't give you new episodes, but also I want to be careful how I say this because it's kind of his business. You know what I mean? But he's hit a major achievement in life and in business. And he's gotten to a point where he's up for some kind of achievements and awards in his business, and we are just really proud of you, brother, the way you've turned your life around and the things that you're doing and the success that you've had. So I just wanted to give you a special shout out on that one.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think you're a, you know, sometimes you might not even think of that, think of yourself that way, Scott, but you actually are a testament to turning your life around and being the most upstanding citizen, man. So you have done a fantastic job and you deserve all the glory and all the honors and all the blessings, my man, because you are out there and you are getting after it and you are an upstanding citizen, man. You're a huge part of this community. And we are super fucking proud of you over here at Rude Dude. And my offer in the chat still stands. So just know if I gotta head down there, I will light some buildings on fire.
We are proud of you, Scat. We love you. I also believe that I got a message from the oscillator, about not while I was in Greece. It's a distant memory now. But about where's the episode at? So shout out to Austin. We love you, buddy.
Okay, I love you too, Austin. I think I even mentioned him in the last episode. I think I did. So he can deal with that. It's on.
I'll get that on Spotify too.
Okay. All right. This week is going to be an HQ, not a CQ. Henry.
Ooh.
Where
hit him with it?
Yeah, hit him with it. Hit him.
All right, I got it. Wait a second here.
Hit him with it.
Hit him with it, he says. Hit him with it, he says. Hit him with it, he says. All right. I shared this on Facebook, and it says, y'all be caring about being judged by the most regular, lame-ass human beings on Earth. Don't do that.
Preach, dude. Preach. Amen, dude.
And
amen.
I just, dude, it like... people's opinions of me are none of my business. And, you know, like another thing that we have to point out is that the people like judging people harshly are the most unhappy people. They're projecting because they're unhappy with themselves. So they're throwing shade and anger and their negative vibes on other people because they are unhappy. And these are the people that we're trying to impress, or we care about their opinion, or we're shaping our life or our personality or our actions around what they might think. No, that's what the fuck we're not going to do. So just remember, it doesn't fucking matter what other people think. Live your life in accordance with the way that you want to live it and do your fucking thing and stop trying to impress people who don't even like themselves.
Exactly, dude. And really kind of take a look and be like, why, you know, and I'm not telling you to go and judge people harshly, but you know, if you find yourself kind of like overly caring about, you know, someone's opinion, why don't you take a look and be like, okay, hey, is this person even worth worrying about? Right? Like there's a different take on it. Like, be like, oh, so you mean, you know, Jimmy and Janie over there with their fucking 27 kids and the fucking 15 feral cats and all that. Like, why would I care about what the hell they got going on? Why do I care about what they think of me? Like, you know what I mean? And that's a stupid example, but it could be anything. You know, people's opinions, dude, everybody's got them. It really doesn't fucking matter. And you can cause yourself a whole bunch of distress sitting there trying to appease people. And here's the kicker. Ready? You're never gonna appease them ever. It's a never ending mission, dude, because most people won't even change their opinion, even if you did a radical fucking transformation. So great quote, man. Great quote. I love it. And what do we have for him next week, bro? Let's give him a little teaser since we're back on schedule. We have a guest. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I saw this thing too, not too long ago. It said something like Donatella Versace is rich because broke people like to flex. Rich people don't buy like $2,700. You know what I mean? And I saw this other thing too. It was like, so Versace exposed for selling a handbag for $2,700 that only cost them $74 to make.
Don't say. Duh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is not news. Those, they don't cost that much. But
no.
But let's go broke trying to impress other people.
Exactly.
But we have an awesome guest next week who I know through recovery. I actually met him the first time at Healing Appalachia, which Appalachia, however you're supposed to say it, is a, you know, like a recovery concert event thing that mm-hmm. supports recovery and raises money and all that kind of stuff. And I see him, he lives in another part of West Virginia, but I see him at like the big events. I see him at convention and I see him at Healing Appalachia and stuff like that. And he's just a really active dude in the community, and he's got a cool story. And I just like hit him up, and I like a lot of the stuff he shares on Facebook, a lot of the messages he has, and the positivity. And he wants to talk about fatherhood, and I forget what the other thing was, but it should be a really really cool show. A really active member of West Virginia Recovery, and a cool dude. So that's cool, what we got next week.
All right, man, I'm looking forward to it. Well, here's our welcome back spiel. If you're a new listener, welcome to Rude Dude. This is probably sound like a wonky episode. Be like, dude, these guys bounce around everywhere. Middle-aged men, fucking German inflation coins. Fucking, I mean, what the hell is happening? But if you are new and you like what you're hearing, please hit the follow button. Maybe share it with a friend. We are on all platforms. And go follow us on IG, Rude Dude Podcast. I don't think we have anything else except, dude, it's just really good to see you. It's really good to be back. It feels so good. It feels like it's been like 3 months since we've sat here, dude. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else? I mean, it really does. Like, my heart is full, dude. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm just like, oh God, there he is, dude. And we're back recording the pod.
Feels great. Feels great to be back, baby. And yeah, no, I don't have anything else, man.
All right, man. Well, hey, then I will end this like I always do. I love you very much, and I hopefully will be able to survive today. It's going to be 114.
Dude, that the smile, look at the smile that I win this how I always end it put on my face.
Yep.
Feels so good to be back. And remember, stop trying to impress lame-ass people that fucking hate themselves, and be yourself, and fuck what they think.
And if you're on Caitlin Clark's team, fucking stand up for your teammates, you stupid assholes. Later, dude. Bob out.